The gospel reading for today is from Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. The text, we read through this entire text for the purpose of really just getting to the end of it, because the basis for this message that I'd share with you today is just really right out of verse 39. Return home and tell how much God has done for you. And we know he did a lot for this fellow. I mean, he was struck with the possession of a legion of demons. And Jesus sends him out. I mean, the story itself is amazing. He sends him out into the pigs. First thing here. They're not supposed to have pigs. This is bad, according to their own laws. They're not supposed to have these pigs. Pigs were unclean, filthy animals. They shouldn't even be in their presence, much less actually raising them and having these pigs. So the fact that they were doing this already shows that these people are not doing what their understanding was of God's law for them at that time. They were breaking that. And then Jesus goes and basically takes care of that problem for them by putting the demons in the pigs, and pigs go off the cliff and drown. And so the people then, it says, they ask him to leave because they were frightened. You know, they were frightened because not only was this the biggest sow market crash that they had experienced. Pork bellies were down. Yeah. Sow market? No. This hit them in the economy. Yeah, they were probably afraid of somebody who could do something as amazing like this, but they were also not too pleased having somebody around that's going to take away their income, because they were making this off the Gentiles, you know, and by not doing what they should be doing. They were profiting. But then this man is healed, and this is where the true story is not the healing, in my opinion, for here. Because this is one of those places where, instead of saying, "Keep this to yourself, don't tell anyone what I've done," he says, "Go home and tell everyone what God has done for you." In our old liturgy, there was a post-communion canticle that we would sing that said, "Thank the Lord and sing his praise, tell everyone what he has done. Let all who seek the Lord rejoice and proudly bear his name." Tell everyone what he has done. We would sing that Sunday after Sunday and share that thought. And it's not just about telling the world about this fellow named Jesus. Jesus did this, Jesus did that, Jesus did this, Jesus did that. Historical things all in there. But what we need to also be able to do is tell who Jesus has been and about Jesus in our lives. That he's done so much for us. That we know the things that he's done and the things that he's been there with us through. And not just the broad subject of there's this Jesus guy out there somewhere, but there's this Jesus who is also in here, who is still blessing me. Now, I don't want us to make it about me, because this is where I break with what traditional sermons are supposed to be, according to the way we're taught to do it in these courses back in the old sim days. You look at the text, you find the goal of the text, you find the problem in the text, and then you find the way to solve the problem in the text, and that's how you piece together all your sermon. I'm just going with this one verse that tells us we're supposed to be talking about Jesus. We're supposed to be telling about Jesus, about him from that personal aspect. We're not making it about us. I'm not saying, the Lord has blessed me in my life, and then I go on to tell you all the good things I've accomplished. Not what the text is talking about. But it is bringing me into the text. It's bringing you into the text. It's saying, God has been with us. Now, how has God been with us? That's what we have as a story to tell. I mean, if you're going to introduce me to a friend of yours, you can tell me all about this person and say, they've done this, they've got a degree in that, or they went to school here, or they've done this kind of mission work, or they've blessed people over here. But you're not telling them, or not telling me, what makes them your friend so much. Now, why are they your friend? What have they done that makes them your friend, or makes you want to have them as a friend? Not just what he's done, not just what she's done, not just what Jesus has done, but what has Jesus done for you? And if we're going to do that, first thing we're going to have to do, quite honestly, is just not take ourselves too seriously. Because we think we have to get it right. Well, as far as I can tell, the only person who got it all right was God, according to the scriptures. So I think that kind of leaves the rest of us saying, we're going to be okay. We're going to share what we can share as we've been given the ability. But we don't have to bog down in the idea that we get every detail right. I don't have to have every verse memorized. I don't have to have every answer to every question that I'm asked. I don't have to be able to back up everything that I've said on the spot with a text immediately. I can say, well, let me work on that and look, and I'll show you and pull these things together. God talks to us and tells us, go and tell what he's done for you. Any person who has come to Christ, who has truly come to Christ and experienced the joy and the freedom and the unconditional love of someone who loves us as we are, where we are, not as we should be, but loves us as we are and where we are, isn't that the kind of love worth telling someone about? This past week was National Selfie Day. I have two problems with this. First problem is, one, that we have a National Selfie Day, and two, what people then do with that. And I was so tempted to take a picture of myself doing duck lips in front of a bathroom mirror and post it on Facebook. I see so many people taking pictures of themselves in front of bathroom mirrors doing duck lips, and I'm like, oh, this'll teach you. Yeah. It's kind of like the idea of, sagging goes out of style when you're 80. Nobody wants to see us sagging, but we do it naturally then, more so in many cases. I'm doing it. I will do it if I lose some weight. I'll never sag at this point. These things that people think are good and right and just really, what? How is this a good thing? How is this a blessing? You tell people about this, you tell people about that. Are you not going to talk about the most important thing that's ever happened in your life, the greatest aspect of your life, the fact that you've been saved by Jesus? Isn't that worth more than all the other stuff? I think it's a whole lot more important than who has the best duck lips, you know? This is good. Talk about Jesus. Talk about his life with you. Talk about the fact that he's brought you healing. He's brought you health. He's brought you a family. He's brought you loved ones. He's brought you your place in life, your friends, your career. He's brought you grandchildren. He's brought you so many different things. He's seen you through so many things. You are here to be able to praise him and worship him today because he has been in your life. If God is not bringing you joy by his presence, then I can understand not talking about it. But I'm thinking if you're here, then at some point in your life, God has brought you joy. And are you sharing that joy? We need to be. When you tell a story to people, they will listen to you. When you tell a story about your life, something that's happened, they'll listen to you. But when there's emotion in that story, when there's joy in that story, when there's enthusiasm in that story, and what you're sharing from your heart, they are going to take it more to heart as well. And just being a story, it will move them as it moves you. And the most moving experience we have is the fact that Jesus has forgiven us for our sins and lives for us still today and is watching over us. And if you tell that story from your heart, it will make a difference in the ears and on the heart of those that hear it. I mean, can you share your story of how Jesus has guided you, how he's healed you, how he's touched your life in one way or the other, how God has given you peace, how God has been with you to give you hope when you were struggling, how God has been with you to give you confidence in a time of fear, how God has blessed you and given you opportunities. If you do these things, if you feel this in your heart, then God will present the people to you that you had the opportunity then to bless by these stories. God will open up the way for those faith conversations. And you can bless someone else in their life. Psalm 73 says, "But for me, it is good to be near God." Oh, that thought. For me, it is good to be near God. And then the psalmist goes on and says, "I have made the Lord God my refuge, and I will tell of your works." If I'm near God, if he's my refuge, then, just like in the text here, we tell of God's works. We share that good news with others. We tell everyone what he has done. We make a difference in their life. It's not rocket science. It's not brain surgery. It's called evangelism, witnessing. Those words aren't meant to be scary terms, as much as they seem to be for some folks. But it's our joy to tell what he's done for us. We're to tell what God does and continues to do in our lives and how he can be there in the lives of others in the same way. We're to tell about the story of salvation that has changed our life and how we live today because of the salvation we've received. We're to talk about how his story affects us in our story and that God's desires for every one of us to have that same kind of story. God is there for us. Telling everyone what he has done. Talking about God is built into us as children of his. He dwells in us by his Holy Spirit. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to bring you to faith in Christ. That's why the scriptures were inspired by the Holy Spirit to reveal Christ to us, to lead us to Christ. All of scripture points to Jesus. All of our life, because of the Holy Spirit's dwelling in us, should also point to Jesus. It doesn't. We go our own ways. We do our own things. But it should all point to Jesus. And when it's all pointing that direction, and we're all going that direction, the Word of God is unstoppable. God uses us individually and corporately to get his work done. If you need a good starting point for for telling what he has done for you. You can use something as simple as the Apostles' Creed, even as it is in our bulletin today. Just print it out for us. It reminds us that he rescues us from death, from sin, the devil, from the power of the evil one, that he's made the payment for our sin through his death and through his resurrection, that he gave his life for us on that cross, and that he rose for us, and he has the victory over the devil. And all of this is for me. And you can say that same statement as I remind you that all of that was for you. And that's just the beginning of what you can tell to others. He's forgiven you, he's blessed you, and he continues to love you with his whole heart each and every day. Isn't that worth telling someone about? Go and tell what God has done, not just out there in the world, but what God has done for you. And I guarantee you, it'll make the difference in someone else's life too. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Amen.